Robert Moses was born on December 18, 1888. He was not given a middle name because his mother saw no reason for one. Bella Moses was a strong-willed woman. So strong-willed, in fact, that some of her relatives said she was too much like her mother and not enough like her father. Bella's parents, Robert's grandparents, were first cousins. Both had been born, Bernard Cohen in 1821, Rosalie Silverman 5 years later, in the small Bavarian village of Reckendorf to struggling merchant families, two of the tens of thousands of German-Jewish families made highly susceptible to American fever by laws that segregated them in crowded Judengassen and forced them to pay the humiliating Jew toll whenever they made a trip away from the ghetto. The statutes also prohibited Jews from owning any land except that on which their houses stood, or from dealing in any goods that could not be carried with them. Bavaria, where German antisemitism was most virulent, had even set a limit on the number of Jewish marriages in an attempt to keep the Jewish population down. The Silvermans left Reckendorf for New York while Rosalie was in her teens. Bernard Cohen had been taken to Frankfurt am Main as a child by parents who hoped that life for Jews in Germany would be better outside Bavaria. When this hope was dashed, they waited until Bernard was 21 and then sent him and a younger brother, Samuel, to America, where the brothers opened a small dry goods store in Mobile, Alabama. In 1848, they moved to New York, rented a small office, and became dry goods importers. Bernard met his cousin, and in 1849, they were married. Business prospered, and the Cohen brothers branched out into real estate with such success that they were soon considered millionaires. Their father had been able to send them to America with a little cash in their pockets, so they had never suffered the desperate poverty that had afflicted other German-Jewish immigrants of the 1840s, the brothers Seligman, Abraham Kuhn, Simon Guggenheim, and his son Meyer, for instance, who, without enough capital to open stores, had had to earn it trudging through rural Pennsylvania with heavy packs on their backs and sticks in their hands to ward off dogs, peddling merchandise from farmhouse to farmhouse. Perhaps for this reason, the brothers, Bernard in particular, never displayed the lifelong preoccupation with wealth that flogged the one-time peddlers along a gyre of financial expansion that eventually made them merchant princes, international bankers, and mining tycoons, men whom Cleveland Amory labeled the Jewish Grand Dukes, who were not part of the 400, but rather of their own 100, and who created in New York City their own self-contained society that was known among themselves as Our Crowd. By the time he was 50, Bernard, security assured, was leaving business affairs largely in Samuel's hands and taking an interest, unusual among Jewish businessmen in New York in the 1870s, in civic affairs. Becoming convinced of slum residents' need for more breathing space, he launched a successful campaign to persuade the city fathers, who were not at all sure that they hadn't already made a gigantic mistake by removing a huge hunk of land from the tax rolls to create Central Park, to set aside other, smaller areas for more parks. Among his friends, he gained a reputation as an incisive and visionary analyst of social problems. In 1875, Joseph Seligman resigned from the traditional Jewish seat on the city school commission, and Mayor William H. Wickham appointed a non-Jew to fill the vacancy. The German-Jewish community was outraged. "We want the unsectarian character of our public schools preserved," editorialized the Jewish Times. "We do not want to be delivered into the hands of disguised missionaries in the persons of principals who smuggle in sectarian prayers and hymns in our public schools." The German Jews decided to unite behind a single man and insist on his appointment to the commission, and the man they chose was Bernard Cohen, who was appointed in January 1877. If not one of the richer or more famous members of Our Crowd, he was one of the most respected. Yet, within the circle of his family, Cohen was almost pitied. His grandchildren, years after his death, remembered him as a tall, slim man, handsome, with an aquiline nose and pale blue eyes. They recalled that he was generous, very gentle and mild, a little absent-minded, and so unfailingly courteous in manner that when he visited his granddaughters, he would kiss their hands rather than their faces. But what they recalled most vividly about Bernard Cohen was how unmercifully he was bullied by his wife. "My grandmother had the reputation of being as hard as nails," one says. "She had that reputation because of the way she treated her husband."